Hello, everyone. Before we get started with this podcast, there are a couple of things I want to mention. First, I want to apologize for the audio quality. We recorded this podcast live together in Toronto. It was on the road, and there were some difficulties in the recording, which made it a little bit difficult to edit, which brings me to the second thing I want to apologize, which is the lateness of this podcast. As I mentioned, we recorded in Toronto, and I went basically straight from Toronto to the UK for a work trip, and I have been there ever since, and I'm still there. So combine that with the difficulty of editing this, and you get how late this podcast is. So I apologize for that, and we will be back to cover episodes 5 and 6 as soon as I am able. So thank you so much for your patience, and I hope you enjoy. This was an interesting podcast. I think Lita actually hated me a little bit after it, but we'll see. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Rehappa podcast. I am your host, Darren Armstrong, and I am with Lita, my co-host, in person in Toronto right now, in this very moment. She's sitting across the table from me. How's it going, Lita?
It's good. Thank you for identifying me as your co-host, as if like people wouldn't know who you were talking about. If you're just like, I'm here with Lita.
I am the staple of this show, and then you are on it occasionally. And so I need to introduce you every time so that people know who you are.
Yeah, I'm just a very recurring guest at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. A very occasionally occurring.
That's a horrible idea.
How's it been going? Have you been enjoying the Toronto trip?
Yeah, you know, it's been okay. Like, the company's terrible, but I'm glad to be here for the event.
It's definitely not my favorite company. This leader girl just doesn't leave me alone. But I don't know. It's nice. It's nice getting to see. We actually had some fans. Fans, slash listeners, I guess. I don't know if you can really call them fans, because like they're really a fan of what we do. They just listen. Yeah. But yeah, we had some American Ninja Warrior people. They said there were 3 of them, and we've met 2. So yeah. Theoretically, there's 1 more person out there.
Yeah. If you're our 3rd fan who listens to this podcast, please come find us. Like, if you're in Toronto, or just like message us, we'll have you on.
We're not going to release this podcast in time for them to hear that, but
not with that attitude.
Well, given how much editing I already have to do to this podcast, it's definitely not coming out before we leave. But we are here to talk about Team Ninja Warrior episodes 3 and 4 of the qualifying rounds. And these were decent episodes. I still think the 2nd episode was the best so far, but these are all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm results oriented, so I agree that these were not my most favorite episodes, but
yeah, I believe your words, because we watched these episodes together yesterday and today. I believe the words that Lita said were, F this. This is dumb. So
Darren got to hear my less polished takes. I clean it up for this family show.
Yeah, don't follow Lita's lead, all of the children out there listening to this podcast. You can be better than her.
I was just disappointed by some of the outcomes, but we'll get to that.
Yes, all right. So to run through the obstacles here, and basically to again explain how this works, let's just like they do on the beginning of every episode of the show, we need to explain how the show works every time we do a podcast, right? So there are 4 teams per episode. They each go off head to head against another team. There's 3 people in each team. You get 1 point for beating the person that you're racing in that particular leg. 1 point for each race. And then there's 2 points for the final race, the captain race, which don't always have the captains in them. And then
I think they call it the anchor run.
Anchor run. Yeah, I guess that makes more sense given that the captains aren't always running in them. And then if they're tied, they go to a sudden death match, and whoever wins moves on, so on and so forth. The first 2 rounds are just positioning for 4 teams. And then the second 2 rounds eliminate 2 of the teams. And the final round is a relay in which the three members of the team each complete one portion of the course. And the winner wins the episode and they move on to the finals. And these obstacles are, again, mostly the same as they usually are, Team Ninja Warrior. There's only one that really changes out, and that's the one right before the warped wall. We got the sonic swing. You swing across the two ropes. The ring of fire, which we've talked about, where they're hanging onto this big hoop, and they have to slide down this metal pipe thing with lips on them that get the hoop stuck in them, and they have to jump out of them by, like, you know, going, ugh, with their body.
Eloquently explained.
I'm doing motions because I'm in person with Lita and she can see what I'm talking about, but none of you can. And then they go to the swing jump where they swing across to the big cargo net and they, you know, they climb under floating tiles. They jump across the little floating tiles suspended by bungee thingies. And then in this episode, we have the bar hop, which was you grab onto a bar and you're in a little hooked area where the bar rests. You have to jump the bar across.
Hop,
to,
if you will.
Or hop, yeah. I prefer jump.
Not the bar jump.
It should have been the bar jump.
No, it should, because bar jumping isn't a thing. You go on a bar hop or a bar crawl, but not a bar jump.
But that's like, you wouldn't go on a bar hop if you're a Ninja Warrior athlete.
They might.
No.
They can have fun. I'm just saying it's like a thing that is also like a thing in real life.
It's
a bar hop.
And jumping bars is also a thing because you jump. You jump them. You jump from one side to the other.
I'm just saying it's not also a thing that exists in real life.
Well, why does it have to be a thing that exists?
It's just a little double entendre.
Do floating tiles exist in real life? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Do invisible ladders exist in real life? I don't think so.
Well, you wouldn't know. You can't see them.
But we don't talk about them. It's not like, oh, yeah, did you not see that invisible ladder over there?
I'm just saying that's why it's called the bar hop and not the bar jump.
Well, I think that's dumb. I think it should be the bar jump.
Okay.
Anyway, they jump the bar across to the other side, and then they have to do it again. You do it twice. Really slow obstacle. I wasn't a fan of this. I feel like, again, there are obstacles in this version of Team Ninja Warrior, this season of Team Ninja Warrior, not liking the Ring of Fire too much, not liking this obstacle. It really just slows the pace down. And there really wasn't ever a whole lot of people who were like, oh, they caught up at the bar hop, because it basically just takes the same amount of time. You have to like work up your momentum and then swing across and then blah, blah, blah. It just takes forever. Anyway, then they get to the warped wall. They go straight up it and hit the buzzer. And that is the course for the these first qualifying rounds. So the first teams we have up here competing are G-Force and the Average JoJo's. And right off the bat, I was like, wow, G-Force. This team is stacked. It's got Nicholas Coolidge, Jesse Graff, and Jesse LaFlair. Wasn't a fan of two Jessies, I've got to say. At least they spelled their names differently, which is nice. But Nicholas Coolidge did really well in the most recent season of Team Ninja Warrior. He's always been a good athlete. Never gets edited into the show. Always gets edited out. But still, doesn't mean he's not any good. And obviously, Jesse Graff, amazing. And Jesse LaFlair, you know, very famous parkour person. So you got to think he's going to do pretty well on this course. What do you think?
Yeah. When you hear like the most famous parkour person on YouTube or whatever, like one of the most famous, I just feel like really out of touch because I have no idea like what that even means. Like how many subscribers do you need to be like parkour famous?
Well, how many parkour people do you know outside of an American Ninja Warrior?
Zero. That's what I'm saying. I feel really out of touch because I don't know any. So it's like, I can't really gauge like how famous that is.
Why does that make you out of touch and not the parkour people?
That's true. It's the parkour people who are wrong.
Yes. So that's G-Force. Then we have the Average JoJo's, led by JoJo Bynum and joined by Jimmy Bogle and Kirsty Pratt, who is the Machine. That's her nickname. She was the one, I believe, who was like training in her wedding dress for Team Ninja Warrior or for American Ninja Warrior. Yes.
Okay.
We had our listener that came up said that he appreciated that we bring the history of the show. Like we have all of the relevant information, which we don't have for this Team Ninja Warrior podcast.
Right. And I never have. So I knew that he was really just talking to you.
But luckily, I just happened to remember that she did anything in the wedding dress.
She's also, I have like a really loose real world connection to her. She went to high school with someone that I know. but they like weren't friends. But he was like, oh, you do a podcast about this? Do you know Chrissy Pratt? And I was just able to be like, that is a person who exists. But if I had remembered that, then I would have had a more fulfilling conversation.
Yeah, she had a wedding dress.
Yeah, and I remember that because I'm obsessed with weddings, but I did not remember that was her. She kind of scares me in like a good Chrissy Pratt.
In a good way?
Yeah, like she's like very intimidating.
How is that a good thing?
I think that women athletes, you know, should be able to be as intimidating as male athletes are.
Do you get intimidated by male athletes?
I mean, some of them.
Really?
What? Why is this controversial?
Why are you intimidated by athletes?
Because they're stronger than me.
So?
Well, if they wanted to like harm me, then they could.
So that's what you feel about Chrissy Pratt?
Yes.
And you think that's a great thing?
I think it's an equal opportunity thing.
We're bringing equality to the world. We can equally feel like we're going to be beat up by women and men.
Yeah. I just feel like women should be allowed to be scary.
Okay.
It just means that she's like an intimidating athlete and it's a good thing. Does she not come across as very like, you know, serious
scary?
And yeah.
I don't think any of the athletes are scary. Why would they be scary? They seem like perfectly wonderful people.
That doesn't mean that she's not a wonderful person. I just feel like she was like in like game mode. And I was like, ooh, like she's got like a fire. Like she's ready to go.
Does that make her scary though? Or like,
yes,
cool.
Both. It's cool is scary. Scary is cool. if it's a woman.
All right. Scary is cool. I'm going to remember that. Okay. So JoJo says that Chrissy Pratt is on the level of Jesse Graff and Meghan Martin, that she is just as capable as them. And I was like, I don't know about that. But immediately gets put to the test.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yes. So the first matchup was Jimmy versus Jesse. Lots of J names. We got Jesse, JoJo, and Jimmy in just these first two teams.
And the names are G-Force and Average JoJo's.
Yes.
A lot of the same sound.
So... go ahead.
I was just going to say I was disappointed that the Average JoJo's didn't have the Average Joe's uniforms from Dodgeball. I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
I feel like we had enough jokes about they're doing above average or whatever while they ran. We didn't need any more average.
But Dodgeball is a cinematic classic.
Is it though?
Yes.
Or is it just the movie that a bunch of people quoted in high school to a really obnoxious effect?
May have been high school for you. Certainly did not come out while I was in high school.
Well, there you go. So Jesse goes sideways on the Ring of Fire, which I thought was interesting. Interesting technique. But Jimmy goes right down into the water, Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire, all again, very, very much the difference maker in almost all of these matchups. So Jesse wins this first round.
Yeah, but this wasn't even like, I feel like the Ring of Fire is most disappointing when they fall on the dismount. Because you're like, they can do the obstacle. It's just like the momentum or whatever. But he lost his grip when he hit the bump.
Yeah.
That was totally on him.
Yeah. Well, I think.
I mean, it's always on them.
Always on them. But
I mean, this, I feel like if he's not going to be able to keep his grip on something like that, he wouldn't have done very well on like, you know, the bar hop or anything like that. Like, I'm sure it was just a mistake, but like that was a lack of grip strength.
I mean, you want to put it that way. You want to be mean to poor Jimmy. Just had to scroll up. So next up, again, we see this this claim put to the test. We got Jesse versus Chrissy. And right away, Jesse says, there are other women more suited to this course than her. But she still feels like, you know, I mean, she's basically the most successful woman in American Ninja Warrior history at this point. But I guess what she's saying is she's not really like the speed person. Mm-hmm. She's more of the, you know, she's more suited to the actual American Ninja Warrior. And maybe we see a little bit of that here because she does lose to Kirsty. Kirsty says she's not intimidated. She's happy that she gets to challenge Jesse Graff. And again, we get lots of average jokes. As soon as Kirsty takes off ahead of Jesse, she's operating above average.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes more sense now that I remember that she's on the Average JoJo's. That like didn't, I don't know why they kept saying that. I thought it was because like she is the machine. So it's like, oh, she's like operating, you know, like a robot or like a.
What does average have to do with a robot?
I don't know. But the word operating like made me think of the machine moniker.
Well, maybe that was part of it too.
Also, do you notice Jesse Graff was training on a subway? Did you call BS on that?
No, I didn't. Well, she didn't say she did it on her way to work in a dress. So
yeah, well, she may have done it on her way to work. She's a stunt woman, so that would be more appropriate.
It still wouldn't be, to be honest.
Okay.
So Jesse, she does this thing. She skips the second bar hop, but her shoes are so wet that she's not able to get up the warped wall. And so Kirsty wins. And what I thought was pretty interesting was Jesse loses. Kirsty wins. She beats Jesse. This is a great moment for Kirsty. And they interview Jesse.
Of course they do.
They may need to make sure they get it in. They don't want to lose this opportunity. So then we had Nick versus JoJo. And
ooh, are we calling Nicholas Nick? Is he?
Well, I wrote in my notes Nick because Nicholas takes longer. Again, casual recap. Okay. Casual.
I didn't know you guys are so close.
We're on a first name, nickname basis with all of these athletes at this point. You know, in the regular American Ninja Warrior, it's Nicholas Coolidge.
Now
in
it's
Team Ninja Warrior, it's
Nikki.
Like, hey, Nick, what's up?
Yeah, okay.
How's it going?
Cool.
You're getting a package this time. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Nick says he trains by jumping in the sand.
Because being in the sand makes you feel weak.
Yes. And I said this to Lita as we were watching. Okay, I get it now. I know why he didn't get put in the show.
See, Taryn is just as shady as me. He says mean things.
He's not the most compelling person in these packages. Still, great athlete, great guy. You know, wouldn't be cast on Big Brother. And also we get a package about JoJo, who is apparently a baseball star of some sort.
Yeah, I didn't know like what this was. It was like he goes right into baseball season, but like, is it minor league? Is it like a local league? Like, is this recreational or is this his job? I have so many questions.
It was like, have you seen The Sandlot?
No.
Seriously?
Why is every conversation with a boy like, you haven't seen this movie?
Unbelievable.
When did The Sandlot come out?
I don't know. I'm
probably wasn't alive for this.
You probably weren't.
I was too busy watching Dodgeball.
Ugh. Dodgeball, but not Sandlot. I hope people are with me on this. Your personality makes more sense to me now.
What?
Nick dunks his entire lower body into the water.
Twice.
Yes. Really just like... basically walking through the puddles.
I have Nicholas F's up all over the place.
Yes.
In my notes.
However, JoJo goes down at the bar hop while Nick is still stuck at the swing jump. And I mean, this whole run was just a mess.
Yeah.
And ultimately we get who won?
G-Force.
I know G-Force won. Who won the round?
Oh, G-Force.
Nick or JoJo?
Oh, Nick, because it got... Right. That was the last run, so they got the 2 points.
Okay. And, yeah, you know, this was not the most exciting matchup here. Next, we had Think Tank versus Yay. Superhero Squad. And I love both these teams. I didn't want to see them have to compete against each other. But we got Noah Kaufman, friend of the podcast. Come on. Helped us find some
He's
guests.
Actually the co-host of the show. I've just subbed in for him every time except for once.
Yes. Basically. Him and Matt are my two real co-hosts. And I don't know if you can hear. We're at Podcast House right now, and there are you know, other podcasters watching last night's episode of Big Brother Canada in the other room, and they just cheered like mad because they're way too invested in Big Brother Canada.
Can't relate.
Yeah, I mean, things are popping off here. It's crazy. We're party animals.
Yeah, here at 1:17 p.m. at Podcast
crazy.
House.
It's absolutely insane.
Here's a question: Superhero Squad obviously is a terrible team name, but is it worse than the Runaways, which is what they were last year? Because Jamie Ron.
It is not worse than that. No,
I also think it's not worse, but I still think it's very bad.
Yeah. So the Superhero Squad is made up of Jamie Ron, Rachel Goldstein, and Sean Darling Hammond. Rachel Goldstein was one of the four women who completed or who qualified for Vegas in Philadelphia last year. And I was there to watch her do it. And then Sean Darling Hammond, don't remember. So
did not bother Googling it.
Again, casual recap. And Think Tank is comprised of Noah Kaufman, Matt Wilder, who said he's like a robot. So right away, I was like, clearly, he's awesome. He's like me, kindred spirit. And Aysia Gretschka.
Aysia. Yes.
No, it's not Aysia. It's yes, like it Aysia.
Is. No, it's Aysia.
I don't believe you.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe I'll just call her Gretschka.
Never makes me happy.
Big fan of hers. I think she's great.
I don't really understand how she... Noah Kaufman says that their team, they all have at least doctorates, but she's like 23. What is France? How do you get a doctorate that young?
Isn't she? Wasn't she like the robotics person?
Yeah, she's like an engineer.
Yeah.
But that's like so... How, she must have gotten that so fast.
Because she's super smart. She's on Think Tank.
Yeah, I guess I don't like know that much about the French education system.
She's a robotics student.
Yeah.
According to her Instagram.
Well, she probably isn't a student anymore if she has at least a doctorate.
Well, then hit that up with her Instagram.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. Big fan of this team. Probably my favorite team.
Me too.
So far. Just all of them are great. They're all like robots. And again, Noah Kaufman has been very, very kind to us.
Wait, it's your favorite team so far in the whole season?
I don't remember the other teams. So.
Oh, well, Megan Martin's team was my favorite the whole season.
Yeah, but they lost, so.
That doesn't make them not my favorite. But this is probably my second favorite.
Yeah. All right, so we had Think Tank versus Superhero Squad. Right off the bat, we got Noah versus Sean. Noah, the captain, going first here. We see a lot of this in these two episodes, where the captain goes not at the end for the anchor round. Noah does an early dismount on the bar hop, and so does Sean, but Noah misses the warp wall, and Sean Darling Hammond takes the win.
I just have a frowny face written in my notes.
Yeah, and she also has a frowny face staring at me right now. then we had... Oh my, we had more cheering. Then we had Rachel versus Aysia.
Why are you saying it like that? Aysia.
We had Rachel versus Aysia, and they mentioned that Aysia won all of her legs last year on Team Ninja Warrior, and unfortunately, that is not the case this year. She gets really hung up on the Ring of Fire. Her problem is the Ring of Fire. She cannot get the Ring of Fire down, and then she ultimately goes down on the floating tiles. Rachel wins this matchup, and it's not looking good for Think Tank, but we have the robot coming up. We got Matt Wilder versus Jamie Ron. And they mention again, Matt won all of his legs last year on Team Ninja Warrior. They call him the cerebral scientist, which I thought was a little bit redundant. Yeah.
Yep. You know what's also redundant? They said he's like a robot and he also builds robots. I guess it's not really redundant. It's just like...
Well, that's just efficient.
True.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he builds them or designs them or whatever. He works on AI. I guess it takes one to know one.
It does. It really does. So Matt gets to the floating tiles first, just before Jamie does. Jamie has to hop over them, and Matt wins this. I really didn't expect Matt. I mean, I didn't remember Matt from last season very well, and obviously Jamie is an incredible athlete. I was not really expecting him to take this, but he does. He beats Jamie Ron here and brings it to the sudden death.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Very excited. And then, so they have Sean Darling Hammond go up against Matt again. I thought this was a bit of a mistake here. I think that just because Jamie just lost to Matt doesn't mean that he can't then beat him the second time. And I think Jamie is ultimately the better athlete here. So didn't agree with the choice here.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get to see it later in the episode.
Right.
Obviously, this was a choice that they made incorrectly.
And this was not even close. Matt, he just dominates through here. Matt has an interesting technique on the Ring of Fire where it seems like he purposely gets caught up on the first lip of the obstacle and then hops off it and then uses the fact that he's going slower to hop over the second lip very easily. Mm-hmm. Instead of going really fast into the second lip, having to hold on when you like slam up against it and then try to get all your momentum back. He uses, I mean, they call him, he's sort of the cerebral scientist. He uses the, you know, Newtonian science. Laws to figure out how to do this better. And yeah, very good. So Think Tank ultimately takes that matchup. Next up, we had Superhero Squad versus G-Force. This is the first elimination round. And boo!
Jesus!
I just scared her. She just jumped out of her chair.
Why did you do that?
Guess who's cool?
Oh
me.
God.
I'm so cool.
How
I'm scary.
Why are you planning that?
As soon as you said scary is cool, I've been planning
oh
to do
God.
That. I told you I'd remember.
I feel like it can't even be satisfying to scare me because I'm so easy to scare.
All right, you heard it here first. Taryn, coolest podcaster of all time.
This will be our super last scared. Podcast together.
Hopefully that didn't clip the audio. oh man, I'm so proud of myself right now. All right, so first up we had Jesse versus Sean. And this was, as they pointed out, Sean's third race in 15 minutes. Looking good for Sean here, especially up against Jesse. Jesse, again, does really well on the Ring of Fire and, you know, gets, you know, all the way down to the bar hop. He does slow down a bit at the bar hop. Jesse, not great at the upper body obstacles. However, he had enough of a lead that he gets up the warped wall and wins. Sean ultimately just kind of slides down the warped wall as Jesse gets up there. And Jesse takes this one.
I have a quibble with the design of this game, of this show.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. So I think that it... So Jesse Graf is already confused. I almost said Lebrecht. She's like not even
right?
involved.
Too many Jessies, yeah. Too many J's.
So Jesse here is not allowed to run a different... She has to run against the woman, right? It's called the women's leg. And that kind of makes sense because otherwise teams would kind of strategize and then send like a man to compete against another team's woman.
They'd send the woman to compete against the strongest male athlete
right.
to like burn, like waste his ability.
Yeah. So like that makes sense. But also it kind of bothers me that like they... I agree with the system of having two men and one woman, although I do think they should be allowed to have like whatever gender distribution they well no because there has to be a woman I think but I think you should be allowed to have more than one woman on your team. Anyway, it just seems weird that like even if you're the best person on your team, and I don't know if that's necessarily true for Jesse Graf, but like, you know, whatever, the best person on your team is a woman, you can make a case for, you know, people like Michelle Warnke, like they should be able to do other legs, but I guess I don't really know how they would make that work and make it fair.
Yeah. I mean, you could try to just be like, do the honor system. Like,
yeah, like, can you guys just be cool?
Don't scumbag the other team, which I think would work for most teams. But
yeah,
then all it takes is one to just be like, well, we're not very well known. So
yeah, this is not team best friend warrior.
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden we're turning it into, you know, Big Brother.
Yeah.
All right, so next we had Jesse versus Rachel, and Rachel just kind of falls off the course at the end of the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, this sucked.
It's just like a random gap in between the landing and like the pole at the side. Like, I don't know why that was there, but that's where she landed, and she just ends up off the course. Very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And like, again, first we saw Jesse lose to Kirsty, and then this time just kind of win right away. Kind of disappointing the amount of times we get to see Jesse compete. Then we had Jamie Ron versus Nicholas Coolidge, and Jamie speeds through this. You know, he wasn't great against Matt Wilder, but he really picked up the pace here. I believe this was the fastest time of the night up to this point.
37 seconds.
Yes. And it was crazy because Nicholas Coolidge is right there with him. They were neck and neck the whole way, but Jamie does ultimately beat him here. And this is, again, where I point out, like, man, they really should have had Jamie run that that last
right.
sudden death match.
Yes.
So they do the sudden death here, and they put Jesse up against Jamie. And again, I was like, why are
yes.
you putting Jesse here?
It
again,
was
bad choice.
Literally a 1 second difference.
Exactly. When it's so close, you want to put up the guy who is just really close. You're not going to throw it. And again, because Jesse was just not good at the upper body stuff. And like, even if he can kind of pull ahead of Jamie, Jamie's always going to catch up when it comes to like the bar hop. And and all of that stuff. So
I guess it's possible that Nicholas was like really tired because he just ran.
It's true, but I don't know. I mean, obviously it doesn't work out. So like this wasn't even close. Jamie completely just wrecks shop here, and Superhero Squad takes the win.
Ooh.
So G-Force is out. They're eliminated. Yeah. I think this is where you were saying, F this. This is dumb. Why do I watch this show?
I didn't say... Okay, I feel like you're adding more to my statement every time you repeat it.
Well, that's what cool people do. Scary cool people.
I'm like so on edge now. This is like not a comfortable podcasting environment anymore. I feel unsafe.
Next up, we have Think Tank versus Average JoJo's. Clearly, I was rooting for one of the teams here. First, we had Noah versus Jimmy. And Noah gets ahead. Jimmy starts to make up ground, but then immediately falls at the floating steps after somebody says Jimmy's making up ground. Then we had Kirsty versus Aisha. I wrote down in my notes, Aisha just sucks at the Ring of Fire.
I have the exact same note.
I think we both said it out loud as well. Because I don't know, I'm rooting for Aisha. Like, she's awesome, but she just can't get this Ring of Fire down. So Kirsty takes it. And I was like, man, apparently Aisha just this her whole package about not being able to train very well in France. Like,
yeah,
maybe that really is the case.
I mean, that's hard. Like, you do have to tailor your training to this. And if you're just going to like a skate park, like there's only so much you can do.
It's true. You know, skater boys, not very well known as American Ninja Warrior athletes. So,
okay.
Kirsty, I noted, finally gets interviewed. This is her second win. She finally gets an interview.
Yes. Hooray. Yeah.
Then we had JoJo versus Matt. And Matt messes up at the Ring of Fire here. He messes up his technique that I mentioned. But it doesn't matter because he leaps right in front of JoJo at the floating tiles. And this is where I just put down Matt is unstoppable.
Yeah.
He cannot be stopped.
Yes. This was amazing because I felt like this was such a good highlight of like why the floating tiles is such a good obstacle.
Yes.
And then later, while like... a similar thing with the pole grasper, which we'll get to, but I love that obstacle, where it's both people using the exact same equipment, because JoJo just hesitated and like took a step before he ran over the floating tiles. And Matt just like blows in front of him and steps right in front of him so that he not only gets ahead, but makes the tiles really wobbly for him.
Yes.
And it was just amazing.
Yeah, it really, really pays off to be the first one there. And I like the balance of that because the person that's behind is in desperation mode. So they're
right.
Taking risks and they're going faster, but it's more difficult because of, you know, the fact that the other person has gone on those obstacles first. So really, really enjoy that one. And so Think Tank takes the win here, and we get Think Tank versus the Superhero Squad in the relay. And I'm going to say, I was hopeful for Think Tank, but I was like, man, I know Matt has already surpassed my expectations. I know he's a robot. But can he really beat Jamie Ron in the third leg? It's all upper body stuff. Jamie Ron is a monster at upper body stuff. We've seen him do the invisible ladder a bunch of times. Can Matt really beat him?
Well, monsters are scary and you think that Jamie Ron is cool. So I'm just bringing it back that you're proving my point.
Yeah, I mean, I already agreed with your point. That's why
okay.
I'm cool.
Just making sure.
They're scaring you.
Right.
Yeah. So we get Aisha finally gets through the Ring of Fire cleanly. And gets to Noah first. But then we had an interesting occurrence here. Noah and Sean both fail at the bar hop. And it wasn't, was it even at the same time or did Noah fall first and then Sean did?
Noah fell first and then Sean did, but Noah got further on the obstacle than Sean did.
And then, but then they both, both Matt and Jamie started at the same time.
Yes.
Right?
And I think that this is really dumb.
Right.
Because Noah both got there first and went further on it. So he should get some kind of.
Right.
Benefit. At least the time he should, the next person, Matt should get the head start of how many seconds ahead Noah was when he got to that obstacle. That's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think they should have had some sort of benefit. Because it basically it just, like it made Aisha's run completely.
Yeah. It made it so the first two legs literally didn't matter.
Didn't matter at all. So unfortunate. And it's one of those things where it's like, you don't think about the rule until it happens. And I feel like American Ninja Warrior is really bad at those rules.
Yeah. Like, so here's what we do here. It's totally in our rule book.
Here's what we do when there's two winners. One of them gets $1 million. So again, at this point, I was like, Matt versus Jamie, it's gotta be Jamie. But then Matt Eisman correctly points out that Matt is a rock climber, and that's obviously going to be a big advantage. He gets way out in front of Jamie at the Globe Graspers and speeds up that invisible ladder like nobody's business. Like the fastest person I've seen go up that thing so far, I think.
Yeah.
He's seriously unstoppable. I never would have thought that Jamie would be beat at this. And, man, Matt just totally, he carried that team.
I know. I was going to say, I'm a little bit conflicted because I was really rooting for this team. I was rooting for G-Force also, but I was rooting for this team certainly in the relay. But it does kind of suck to have it be like solely the responsibility of one person to have the win, because that's the part of this whole system, you know, the 2-point anchor run that I don't like, which is that you can get to the relay with only one person being good. And we usually say that it balances out because you can't win the relay with only one person being good, but I guess you can, because yeah, your teammate can just fall in the water and then you can win anyway.
Yeah. And I do think Aisha's good. I think now that she's solved the Ring of Fire, maybe we'll see her do well in the finals.
And obviously Noah has the capability to do
Of course, yeah.
It just didn't really show through this episode.
Okay, so Think Tank are our winners for episode 3, and let's move on to episode 4, where we have a new obstacle in place of the bar hop, the Pole Grasper.
I love this obstacle.
Yes, this one's much better. It's still a little bit slow, but they're able to interact with each other, which I think makes up for it.
Yeah, and it's so, looking at this, you might think that the pole grasper is another upper body obstacle, but if you're climbing a pole in real life, that's like that size, it's really core and it's really, really legs. Like if you look at some, I was trying to look closely at the screen to see their technique with their legs around it. And if you don't have like your ankles and knees wrapped appropriately, like you're holding on with just your biceps or your back muscles, and that makes it like impossible. You have to use your core and your legs. So I think it's good to mix up the muscles that you need to use.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of technique that goes into getting across them very quickly. So very good. Our first two teams are Team Grit and Phoenix Force. And Team Grit, they talk about, they competed on a Spartan race together, which I did not watch.
Just to miss that one.
Yeah. It's Kevin Bull, Lance Pekus, and Maggie Thorne. Kevin Bull, obviously the amazing athlete with alopecia, who is famous for doing that like upside down transfer on the cannonball obstacle in one of the qualifying cities. And Lance Pekus is the dude who wears the jeans and no shirt.
He said that, not the cowboy ninja.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the cowboy, yeah, but like the jeans and the no shirt thing, it just really gets to me.
Oh, really? Because I love him.
I know that you love him. I believe when he came on the screen, the noise that came from Lita was something like, I'm totally going to go off on him on the podcast.
I did not say that. I said, I'm getting it out of my system now.
Oh, yeah, it was that. It was the opposite. But then in my head, I was like, I'm totally going to make her go off on him on the podcast. And then Maggie Thorne. So
who is a woman, who is a human woman.
We also get Phoenix Force. I was hoping for better things from Phoenix Force. Najee Richardson, Dan and Cassie Craig.
Well pronounced. Did you take Polish?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
I spent like 5 years studying in Poland.
Okay, well that was excellent pronunciation.
Thank you. I don't really know who any of these people are, other than Najee, of course, who is a breakout star of this season of team of American Ninja Warrior. And so I was very hopeful for this team, but they kind of got some bad breaks, I think.
Yeah. Cassie is extremely beautiful.
I honestly don't even remember what she looks like.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Was she the one with the guns?
What? They all have muscular arms.
One of the women had particularly muscular arms for her stature.
I don't know, but she has like dreadlocks and is like just extremely gorgeous. I don't know.
Okay, I don't think that was the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Barclay. That's
yeah.
Okay, so we got Team Grit versus Phoenix Force. First up was Lance versus Dan. And they mentioned that Dan Gold blah, 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 is a 6-time competitor. And I was like,
We just have to take their word for it.
I don't recognize him at all.
Never seen this person.
He had red hair, so I was like, maybe it's the red hair. Maybe he, you know, maybe the fact that he has red hair right now is why I don't recognize him.
I don't know.
That's my excuse.
Okay.
Also casual.
Yes.
Dan, he just slips right off the pole grasper out of nowhere. And so Lance ends up winning this one.
Yeah.
Just, you know, wasn't grasping hard enough, I guess, on the poles.
Bad footwork, too.
Needs to practice that a little more. Maggie is up next against Cassie. And they say Maggie is a top Spartan racer and also beauty pageant competitor. And you couldn't hear this on the podcast, but as I said that, Lita just rolled her eyes really hard, which I think was also the audible response when we watched this episode together.
Yeah, I'm not gonna throw shade at beauty queens. I don't want them coming for me.
As much shade I suppose as you think that Lita espouses on this podcast, there's like 10 times more that she holds back, and I'm just like, I'm revealing all of the secrets to you.
I'm so much harsher when I'm actually watching the episode.
So Maggie does not make it past the Ring of Fire, and Cassie wins this matchup. And so we get Najee versus Kevin. I was very excited about this. Two great athletes. But Kevin gets stuck at the swing jump, and this is going to be a recurring thing for him. He is not good at the swing jump.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't know why. But Kevin gets hung up there, and Najee just kind of cruises to victory.
I think it's time for both Kevin and Lance to invest in workout pants. I know that they have iconic pants, but get a new thing.
And I'm going to point this out in a later matchup, too, where I just like the pants are just ridiculous for this course, especially.
I thought you didn't notice what people wear.
I told you when they're not wearing enough, I notice.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So next we got the next two teams. We have Lab Rats versus Iron Grip. And I love the Lab Rats. They're like one of my favorite teams.
They have the same purple tank tops and also a science name. And
I don't know why I would care about purple. And also,
I'm just saying they're basically the exact same team as Think Tank.
Oh,
they like even are wearing the same clothes.
Well, I love Chris Wilczewski. Michelle Warnke is awesome.
I love Brian Wilczewski.
I know that you're in love with Brian Wilczewski. I wrote in my notes, Lab Rats, AKA Team Weird W last names. He's got Chris Wilczewski, Brian Wilczewski, and Michelle Warnke.
Yeah. And they have the little, did you notice the periodic table on the back of their shirts?
Is it a W?
It's like three like chemical symbols, and it says like WZ and then like WK or whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so love that team. Love the Lab Rats. And they are up against Iron Grip, which consists of Daniel Gill, Nate Burkhalter, who, as they say, he's an adrenaline junkie.
That's a weird thing to
I
be.
I really hate that term.
Red flag.
Like, why do you have to be a junkie?
Yeah.
Why can't you just be an adrenaline person?
Because that sounds weird. I think that it's the language of addiction, but
like, I get it. Like, okay, I can appreciate, you know, your random, like, oh, this is an absurd phrase. Like, right. Like, oh, I'm an adrenaline junkie. Right. Or like, I'm a chocolaholic or whatever it is.
No, there's no chocohol. Yeah.
You're right.
That's not my original joke.
But like, once you make the joke, it's like, it's good for maybe a year. I feel like adrenaline junkie has been a thing since like the late 90s, and it's just really played out at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So your issue is with the term. My issue is with the concept.
You know, to each their own.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to like jump out of planes, then I'm not going to stop you.
No, I think I like to do those things also. I'm like very into like roller coasters and like jumping off of stuff. Like that's fine with me. I
said jumping out of planes. Then you said roller coasters. And I feel like that's not the same.
No, but I mean, I would skydive. I've never had the opportunity, but like,
of course. Yeah.
No, totally. I just mean like I get it. Like I understand like being adventurous or whatever and like enjoying those things. But I don't know, when someone tells me they're an adrenaline junkie, like that really is a red flag to me.
Basically, anytime anybody claims that like their hobby defines them as a person.
Yeah.
I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yes.
I say as a podcaster.
Hey, that's not a hobby. That's a career.
We get. Let's see. And also, of course, we had Barclay, who has the very jacked arms there. So first up, we had Chris versus Nate, and it was interesting that they put Chris up against Nate here. Chris, they're, you know, probably their strongest competitor. My theory was they went, okay, let's have Chris go first, and we'll have him beat Nate, and then we'll have Brian go up against Daniel. We'll assume that we just can't beat Daniel. We'll just have Brian tire Daniel out, and then we'll put in Chris, and Chris will beat Daniel in the sudden death match. That was my thought about their strategy.
Yeah, I think that's a good theory.
So Chris comes out here first. He dismounts from the second Ring of Fire lip, which is always a good strategy here. But I think, no, it wasn't the Ring of Fire, actually. It was the swing jump. He pulls something in his shoulder, and this really sucks.
Yes.
He's one of my favorite athletes. Really excited to see him. I think this is a really strong team. I really think they would have won this episode had this not happened. But ultimately, this is the one and only time we see Chris run in the episode. So Nate ultimately falls on the floating tiles. Chris does win this round, even though he does injure himself. But still, a very unfortunate turn of events. Then we had Michelle versus Barclay. And they mentioned Michelle has thousands of social media followers. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. Well, now you do.
And now she takes like training challenges from her followers.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know who else has thousands of social media followers?
Is it you?
It is me. I also take challenges from my followers.
You don't?
Yeah, I do.
What's the challenge? Interacting with them when they yell at you?
Nobody's taken it up yet.
Well, you haven't promoted it very well.
I've always been open to challenges. Just nobody said anything. So, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Like, I can't force people to challenge me to do things. But obviously, I'm just as good as Michelle Warnke.
Okay, send Taryn your challenges.
I mean, you don't have to. I don't want to like pressure you or anything.
He's an adrenaline junkie. Tell him to, to do exciting things.
It's not true. All right. And this is what I was talking about, okay? Akbar says she's got some guns, Matt.
Okay.
She's got some guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also nicknamed the firecracker because she's small, you know, like firecrackers.
Burns crackers.
No, she fires them from jobs.
Oh. See, at first I was thinking about like firing actual crackers, but then it got really racial.
Yes. Well, this nickname doesn't really make that much sense. I don't know. I've heard Spitfire. I've never heard firecracker.
I feel like
describe like a small person.
I don't remember if she was short, but
she's
like,
5'0".
For whatever reason, when I hear firecracker, it makes me think, oh, they're talking about a short person. And then it just seems really condescending.
I just think that it's like another way of saying Spitfire, which is an actual thing that people say.
I've never heard Spitfire. I've heard firecracker way more.
Okay, well, grew
You're
up in
a
different.
Spitfire?
Yeah, she's a Spitfire.
A Spitfire?
Yes.
You Spitfire. That's a verb. You're not a Spitfire.
Listen,
you can be a firecracker because a firecracker is a thing.
We grew up in different parts of the world.
I'm just saying
there's
that mine is
language.
More grammatically correct.
I'm not saying I made it up. I'm just saying it's a thing
You're
that I've heard more often.
You're trying to defend it as equally valid. And I'm just saying that I think mine is much more valid.
That's fine. Not everything
Thank
has
you.
To be a fight.
Well, when you lose, that's what you say.
Okay.
But this was a fight and I won. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Everything fine. Is a contest.
Okay.
So Michelle... she makes it up the warp well. Barclay ultimately falls there and Michelle wins.
Okay.
Fails the warp
but can
well.
We talk about them literally climbing on each other?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I skipped that part. When they get to the pole grasper, they literally grab onto and then transfer over to. They're on the same pole at the same time. And Barclay ends up using Michelle's leg to transfer over to the next pole. And then they grab the same pole again for the next one.
I wonder, like, if... when Barclay pushed off of her leg, like if Michelle had fallen, like is like what happens? Like, are you allowed to just like push each other off of the pole?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. They should be allowed to do that. You should be like,
I mean, we don't know that they're not allowed to do that.
What they should be allowed to do is like kick each other off of the poles, right? Like, I feel like that'd be so much fun.
I just feel like I don't know that it's against the rules or not, but like, I would like to see what happens if like someone falls off as a result of contact. You know that they would just make up some rule about it on the
spot.
Well,
when somebody falls off due to contact, what happens is We push them forward one obstacle and then start them off on intervals of 5 seconds.
And then give Isaac Caldiero $1 million.
And yes, exactly. And then he disappears. Yeah. So next up we had Daniel versus Brian. And as expected, I think, at least from my point of view, Daniel does ultimately win here. They both do well on the Ring of Fire. Brian, I think, actually pulls ahead of Daniel at the Ring of Fire. These Wilczewski brothers are very good at the Ring of Fire, but Daniel ultimately is able to leap ahead of Brian on the Pole Grasper, and that is where the difference is made, and Daniel beats Brian. And in his interview afterward, he said, man, I'm just so happy that I got to touch this course. It's just like, okay, sounds weird. Like,
he's a tactile man.
It made me think of... if you watch The Amazing Race, there was a rock climber on The Amazing Race who recently was
Becca?
Able to rock climb. And she was like, oh, I was able to touch the rock. Feels so good to touch the rock.
Listen, not to get too off topic, but Becca and I went to the same musical theater camp as kids.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you team fun?
I am. So we literally, like, I have met her as a child.
Okay, this might be a hot take, but I'm so anti-Team Fun.
Stop, you're just anti-Fun in general. We're not getting this far off.
I loved Team Fun until he lost the passport. I don't want to spoil, anything. But like, so spoilers for Amazing Race. But the guy loses the passport and she just flips on him.
Stop,
like crazy.
We're talking about
this
later.
She's so mean.
Shh, people are not listening to us for this. The important thing here is that you skipped over Brian's package. He moved to California and he's still really handsome.
I'm very upset about your lack of Amazing Race takes.
I love to talk about the Amazing Race. I just know that we're going to get complaints. We're going to lose one of our three people.
When have we ever gotten complaints about going off topic? We don't get any feedback at all. So
okay, fine. Maybe I just like hate your take because Becca is great.
Well, then why was she so mean?
Because that's really frustrating.
Well, you don't have to be mean about it.
Oh my God.
That's all I'm saying.
She might have been hungry.
She's supposed to be fun.
Okay.
So
Brian had a package and you didn't talk about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's like, I moved to California and now I'm like a typical California dude.
And I'm still really, really handsome.
Sure.
Okay.
Is he supposed to have turned not handsome?
I don't know. Just I haven't seen him in a while. And I just wanted to make sure that he was still really handsome. He's a scientist. You should like him.
I do like him. Yeah.
Okay.
I love the Wilczewski brothers.
Okay. You're just always talking about Chris and feel like you don't give Brian any credit.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to have favorites, and Chris is just my favorite.
Okay.
He's my favorite child.
Brian's my favorite.
Well,
if Matt Wilder is not available, I will marry Brian.
You know, ultimately, Matt is the robot, so I think we have to go with Matt.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I love them both. I'm just saying they are my two favorites these episodes.
So we get to the sudden death, and it's Daniel versus Brian again. And this is where I thought we were going to get Chris versus Daniel, but ultimately Chris is injured here, so we're not able to see that. But this time, Brian is again able to take the lead at the Ring of Fire. But when Daniel tries to dismount from that second lip, he goes into the water and Brian wins this one.
Woo!
Brats win the matchup.
Are you a big Daniel Gill fan? I don't think I even know.
I appreciate his athleticism.
So no.
He seems like a perfectly nice guy. Next up, we get Iron Grip versus Phoenix Force. And first up was Nate versus Dan. And Nate pulls ahead at the Ring of Fire. And there's basically no chance for Dan Goldblood blah, 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 to catch up.
Did you know that they call him No Limits Nate? I didn't.
Did they? Man, it's almost as though they said that like 15 times.
Just letting you know.
Well, thank you for letting me know. It's very important. This is a casual recap, and we need to latch on to all of the information that we can. Second was Daniel versus Najee, and this was interesting. The captains were running the second match, the not anchor run. So we had the captains running the second leg instead of the anchor run, and Najee ends up slipping on both the ring jump, the swing jump, and the Ring of Fire, but still manages to really push it and give Daniel a run for his money, even though he really fell behind there. At one point, Akbar was saying, "It's getting hot in here, Matt. Click it or ticket. He's got to go fast."
Yeah.
Yeah. Click it or ticket.
Seatbelt.
Yeah.
Humor. My favorite.
Because when you're talking about how hot it is and how people are going really fast, you're thinking, oh, yeah, he's buckled in.
Yeah. He must buckle up.
Or he'll get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome. So Daniel beats Najee here. He gets the fastest time of the day. And then we get the anchor run, Barclay versus Cassie. And Barclay pulls ahead here at the Ring of Fire. And Cassie then goes down at the swing jump. Barclay does finish the course out, becomes the second female who's 5 foot to get up the warped wall.
Yeah. I knew that Cassie was going to lose this because as soon as Akbar goes, you know, my money's on this person, that person always loses.
Akbar, what are you doing? Why are you cursing people?
I just think it's like a thing where like they want to make the matchup exciting. So they like put their money on the person who's less likely to win. So the audience is like, ooh, this is like a really good matchup. You know what I mean?
I think you're putting words in Akbar's mouth and I think you're trying to call Akbar manipulative, and I don't appreciate it.
No, I think that he's just trying to make for better TV. He also said, you don't got your mama to push you on the swing jump, which just seemed like a non sequitur.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, Akbar said something that like didn't really make sense. The first time in history. It's
very strange. I don't know who took over Akbar and made him say things like that.
I feel like I have to cling to all the Akbarisms because there's so few.
It's very true.
That's so sad.
That's why I said the thing about the click it or ticket.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you didn't really give me much response, so I had to explain it to you. So Iron Grip wins here. Phoenix Force is out, unfortunately. And we get Lab Rats versus Team Grit. Ah, this would have been such a great matchup if Chris had been here. Ultimately, without Chris Wilczewski, they're really missing an upper body person. And it's going to be very difficult for Daniel. The door is slowly opening right now. And now Brent is filming me with Matt Ligori behind him. They're all smiling. This seems very, very creepy. This is like what you'd see in like a Porky's film. Like they're snooping on us. Like we're in the showers or something. And they're filming and they're giggling.
This is... very much more intimate than being in the
show. You're welcome for describing this entire situation on a podcast. I'm sure you're very happy about it. He said he was trying to be quiet. Okay, now they're gone. This is the kind of great interlude you get when we record podcasts in person at Podcast House. Lita looks very concerned. All right, so then we have Chris Wilczewski is injured. He can't compete. We have to sub Arnold Hernandez out for him. And this is very unfortunate because even though they end up winning this matchup, the loss of Chris Wilczewski is really going to hurt them in the relay.
Yes.
Unfortunate. But Arnold goes up against Lance Pecus. And this is what I'm talking about with the pants, because Lance basically submerges like the lower portion of his body in the water at some point. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of the leg, he is just like spewing water from his pants the entire time.
Yes.
It's like all over the place. By the time he gets to the warped wall, he basically like paints it in water because he's wearing these ridiculous pants. Mm-hmm. He can't just wear shorts and then not have water everywhere.
I'm extremely anti jeans in general, so this bothered me especially because of that.
Did you see me look down to see if I was wearing jeans after you said that?
I knew that you weren't currently.
Yes.
I think you were yesterday. I don't own.
I was not yesterday. For the record.
Okay, whatever. I don't own jeans, so it's just something that I look down upon in other people.
Yeah, I mean, I can do that too. I can be like, I don't own boots, so I look down upon people who wear boots. Yeah.
I'm just saying I think that they're a bad pant.
They're like the best pant, aren't they? They're like the most synonymous pant in existence.
Synonymous? Oh. Okay, I'm just saying that jeans are just like leggings for people who don't love themselves.
That isn't that everyone? Everybody wears jeans except for you.
Everyone should wear leggings.
Why? Leggings are the worst.
Have you seen my suitcase?
Leggings are like not even pants.
Oh, no, it's not 2007. We're not having this argument.
The like pants are structured. Leggings are like they're different.
They're structured.
She just threw something. She just threw the... This is a button. Yeah. She just threw a button at me.
I got bored with your arguments. This is why we do this in person when we're together.
This is like what Brent does, only with words.
I don't have the biting tongue that he has, so I have to throw things at you.
Okay. So Lance, he was wearing these pants.
Old Pants Lance. Lance the Pants.
And I don't know. It's just like, I think it's because they're so loose. It really bothers me. It just feels like there's way too much like movement happening.
You should be wearing skinny jeans.
Yes.
I wouldn't be very cowboy like.
Still. Maybe I just don't like cowboys and jeans.
Same.
Yeah. All right. So Arnold wins this one. And I also noted down here, I hate these mini recaps they do every time they come back from commercial where it's like, you just saw this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I did just see that. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
It was like 3 minutes ago.
We say on a recap of an episode that people probably watched recently.
We are adding value with our Amazing Race detours and button throwing. So then we had Michelle versus Maggie, and Michelle just dominates this. She pulls ahead at the Ring of Fire, and then she speeds through the pole grass. We're like faster than I saw anybody do it. And she has never lost a race. This was one of the fastest times of the night, regardless of gender, and the fastest time by a woman all season long.
Yeah, so 58 seconds.
Total domination there. Then we got Kevin versus Brian, and they both do well on the Ring of Fire, but Kevin, he hesitates before he goes on the swing jump and then ends up missing his first attempt, not able to catch up after that. And but he makes a very valiant attempt, though. He really speeds through the rest of the obstacles, almost catches up on the pole grasper. And Brian ultimately has to dive for the buzzer to make sure he gets it in time to finish before Kevin. This is another one of the situations where it's just like, give Kevin a couple more times at running this course and he'll figure out the swing jump and he'll be really, really fast and probably would have beat Brian. But, you know, without that experience, he's not able to. So,
but all the nerds are doing so well and I'm so happy.
Yes. Very happy. Team Lab Rat comes out on top here. But going into this relay, the loss of Chris is really going to hurt the Lab Rats.
Yes.
They have no more upper body person. They're going to be up against Daniel Gill in the third leg. And how do you beat Daniel Gill without somebody who is really just specialized in this upper body stuff?
I don't know.
You can't. They make a valiant attempt, though. They have Arnold going first against Barclay, which was an interesting choice. And I really liked this choice. Again, I think the Lab Rats, very, very smart, strategic team. I like that. Again, this might not have been their goal with the whole Chris going first in that first matchup. But if it was, I think that was a really smart move. And I think it was really smart to put Arnold first and have Michelle go second because Michelle was really, really fast at those pole graspers. And it's just a great place to have her. And so they did really well. They get to Brian first. Brian has a bit of a head start here, but pretty quickly, Daniel Gill is able to catch up and then pass him on the globe graspers. And Brian is just not ready to go up this invisible ladder.
Yeah, but I mean, Daniel also gasses out on the invisible ladder, and this is really surprising to me.
Yeah, it was because we've never seen anybody fail on the invisible ladder in Team Ninja Warrior up to this point.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, both of them are failing. It makes you wonder, like, was it particularly hot that day?
I mean, it was 10 feet taller than the one that's in regular competition.
Right, but we've seen all of the competitors on Team Ninja Warrior complete this easily, not even struggling. So very like, and Brian, I don't think he even got up halfway.
No.
Daniel made it like maybe 3/4 of the way before falling. And you wouldn't expect Daniel, who made it to stage 3 in the American Ninja Warrior season, second only to Drew Dreschel. And it's very surprising. There must have been some sort of mitigating factor here that really made it more difficult in this particular instance. But who knows? Point is, Daniel ends up taking the win here. Even though he doesn't hit the buzzer, the Iron Grip team have defeated the Lab Rats. I think if Chris had been there, I think Lab Rats would have won.
I think so, too. And it's worth noting that the Lab Rats eliminated Iron Grip last year in Team Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
And it's interesting that they are like doing the same matchups. And I don't know how many other teams they've done this with, but it makes me think that they're trying to foster rivalries so that for future seasons, it's like, they can be like, they're going up against their arch rivals. You know, like they try to fudge those in between individual contestants anyway. But I think they're looking to the future where you can be like, oh, and then the last episode, we're going to have this huge rivalry that's been going on for 3 years or whatever.
Yeah, they're doing, you know, they're creating fake rivalries like with sports so they can make more money.
Those aren't fake.
Yeah, they're totally fake. They're totally, you know, created just to you know, make more money. That's how it works.
A very conspiracy theorist approach to college rivalries.
Our listener that came up to us last night said, love the podcast, but I hate it when you guys talk about college sports. It's so boring. And I was like, thank you. Finally, we have a feedback. And the feedback said,
Lita
no more
sucks.
College sports.
Excuse me.
I feel so vindicated.
Excuse me for bringing discussions of athletics into a conversation about a show that is based around athletics.
I am both cool and correct.
Cool, calm, and correct.
Yes. I don't know how calm I am, but still. So those are our episodes. We had Iron Grip and Think Tank as our winners of these two episodes. We will be back after episodes 5 and 6 to talk about the winners of those ones. And then we will see what happens after that in terms of where the episodes go. But this was a lot of fun. There really wasn't much difference doing a podcast in person with Lita. We were basically just doing exactly what we did before, only she was able to throw buttons at me and I was able to scare her.
I think you would have been able to scare, you know what? No, I'm not going to encourage you. Never mind.
Well, basically I have to scare you every episode.
No,
not
please
to prove...
don't do that. I won't trust you anymore.
Okay, cool. As long as you just acknowledge how cool I am, I won't have to continue to prove it to you by scaring you.
I feel like I acknowledge that in my everyday life.
Yeah. So you could say right now, like, Taryn, you're so cool.
This feels like browbeating. I'm not a fan of this.
Is it browbeating or is it like acknowledgement? Like, you know?
I have some things that I need to promote.
All right. You heard it, listeners, right? Like, I will be justified when I scare her next time in order to prove how cool I am.
Why do you get to make threats to me?
Threats? Who's threatening? I'm not threatening. What are you talking about?
You're saying,
I'm
if you
mad.
Don't do this, then I'll do this. That's what a threat is.
I don't think those are the words that I said.
Everybody let Taryn know that he's bullying me, and this is even worse in person.
I wasn't the one who threw things at me.
I was bored. You were being rude.
Is that your excuse for everything? You're being rude, therefore I get to throw things at you?
Yeah.
And or say mean things?
I place a very heavy emphasis on politeness.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Is that why you hate things?
That's not even polite. I just have a very high regard for manners.
Okay. So what's like the, you know, the thing that makes you the most upset manners wise?
Oh, when people are late.
When people are late.
Yes. It's okay. Not even close. That's my biggest pet peeve ever in history, ever, of all time.
Okay.
Besides maybe like racism.
Again, listeners, I want you to mark this down. And so the next time Lita's late to a podcast.
I have never, ever, ever.
We're gonna have fun.
I have never been late to a podcast.
Don't believe her.
You know. You're the one that I'm always doing it with. I'm always ready.
All right. This is a lot of fun. I'm glad we did this. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes at American Ninja Warrior Rehap Ups on the iTunes feed. You can also go to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed to subscribe there. Lita, I know you have been doing some, you've been cheating on me. You've been, you know, having some one night stands with other podcasts. Tell me all about them so I can, you know, you rub them in my face.
Yes, I have been doing podcasts that are so much more fun and so much better than this one that I'm currently on with co-hosts that don't make me nervous. So I was on the Dancing with the Stars podcast this week with Kelly. I was in for Ange Bloom. It was super, super fun. She really knows what she's talking about. I finally got to talk about dance technique, which is something that I feel really strongly about. And I was on oh my God.
What?
You are so disrespectful.
I'm just trying to emphasize with, I'm just trying to empathize with the listener in this moment.
I was extremely shady about some contestants. I already had someone on Twitter, like immediately after the episode was posted, criticize me for being too mean about one of the contestants. So if you're interested in that
trend with you,
check that out. I was also on the RuPaul's Drag Race recap with Liana and Brent this week. That was also super fun. We had just some very fun banter, a lot of disagreements. So definitely check that out.
Okay. And Big Brother Canada coming to an end here. We just recorded an interview with Arissa Cox, and the executive producer of Big Brother Canada at the studio. It was very, very fun. I filmed it, so you can see the video on robhasawebsite.com if you want. You can also find our podcast on robhasawebsite.com under the American Ninja Warrior section. You can leave a comment there, or you can tweet at us. I'm at Taryn. I'm at Armstrong Taryn, and Lita is at Lita Tweeted.
Us a review.
Yes, leave us a review if you want. They're very, very helpful. They're very entertaining. We will read them out on podcast. Don't worry. You can leave a review now, and we will read it during the regular season for the real podcast.
Yes.
Your review so won't that get people used will up hear in the bad it. Ones.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for checking us out. This has been a lot of fun. We will see you next time.